us offer our most grateful and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of the most merciful Lord. Dearest Bhagwan, please bless us so that we always feel your omnipresence and bask in your love wherever we are, whatever we may be doing. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today, we will learn a bhajan which is an adoration of the lingam form of our beloved Bhagwan. The first line of this bhajan goes like this.
Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhutalingam bhajare.
So this bhajan has four lines in all, and let us become familiar with the lyrics and then we'll move on like always to the tune, the raga, the meaning of its every word, and in the end we will listen to Brother Sonam, a former student of Baba's university who is also a composer of many Sai bhajans and who was blessed to sing in front of Bhagwan for many decades. So that's coming up towards the end of the program. For now, let's get on with the lyrics.
Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhuta lingam bhajare nagalingam navamani lingam nabhi kamala udbhava lingam ishvara lingam bhajare saishvara lingam bhajare.
Now that we know the lyrics, we will move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line very slowly. Brother Anirudh will follow him after every line. Let us too, dear listeners, join Anirudh in following what Brother Ravi Kumar sings.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale F sharp pancham. Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhutalingam bhajare.
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 Nagalingam navamanilingam.
Nagalingam navamanilingam.
Nagalingam navamanilingam.
Nagalingam navamanilingam.
Nabhi kamala udbhavalingam.
Nabhi kamala udbhavalingam.
Nabhi kamala udbhavalingam.
Nabhi kamala udbhavalingam.
Ishwaralingam bhajare sa Ishwaralingam bhajare.
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 Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhutalingam bhajare.
So that is the tune of this sublime bhajan dedicated to Lord Shiva, and you heard in the voices of Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. And now as we proceed in this program, let's learn more about the composition of this bhajan. Anirudh is here with us in the studio. So tell us, Anirudh, which is the raga behind this beautiful bhajan on Lord Shiva?
Sairam Vishu, I think this is a very simple and nice bhajan.
Yes, all can follow.
Yeah, it's not so complicated in the tune or the way it should be sung, nothing like that.
Yes.
So I think the bhajan belongs to Shankara Varnam, as all the major notes are there in the raga.
Yeah.
And maybe if you can see some parts of the bhajan, it may give a bit feel of kind of a desh raga.
Rag desh.
Yeah, rag desh. But it doesn't go fully into it because the swaras, just it has taken from some part of the desh and then Shankara Varnam. All, like, you have the major notes, but the way it is delivered in the bhajan is that matters actually. So
yes,
you can't say like it belongs to particularly on this raga.
Yeah. So you're saying the notes are basically Shankara Varnam notes.
Yeah,
and
Shankara
here
Varnam
and there is feel of
the
rag
feel of
desh.
Yeah, yeah.
But not completely.
Fully, yeah, yeah, not completely. Yeah.
Okay. So I think maybe just for the benefit of listeners and people who are new to music, you can just give an overview of the Shankara Varnam raga.
Yeah. Shankara Varnam, as you know, it is...
Rag Bilaval in Hindustani,
yeah,
music.
Yeah, Bilaval. And I think Hindustani music, they learn...
Yeah, that is the first raga.
First raga to start,
yes,
with. Whereas in Carnatic, we learn from Maya Mala Gola.
Okay.
Yeah. And in this raga, you have all Shuddh notes. Sa re ga ma pa dha ni sa sa ni da pa ma ga re sa. And it is more used in the Western because all the notes are major and
yes,
you have many symphonies and all compositions in this raga.
Okay.
Yeah. All like, happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
All kind, this kind of twinkle, twinkle, little star. All this.
Yes.
You have many rhymes and then,
yes,
very popular compositions.
All, I mean, I think we have many bhajans also in this raga. And, you know, bhajans are something which have to be sung collectively.
Yeah.
It needs mass participation.
Yeah.
And when you have bhajans in this raga, where everyone can easily lend their voices, I think that way this raga lends itself to bhajans,
yeah,
very easily.
Yeah.
So, because you have all the seven notes and all the major notes, there are so many ways you can actually play around with these notes and create that happy feeling. So, maybe you can just give us a small glimpse of how this raga flows. And also maybe tell us how in this bhajan we see the different shades of rag desh.
Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely explain to you that.
Yeah.
I'll give an alap first.
Sure.
And then when we do the swaras part, I'll tell you line by line where the shades of other rag comes in the bhajan.
Oh.
Sa sa re sa re ga ma pa ga ma pa da sa da ma pa re ma ga pa re ma ga sa ni ni da da pa pa ma ma ga re sa ni da pa ma ga ga re sa ni da pa ma ga re ni sa ni ni sa da ma pa sa re ga a
Wow, that was beautiful. So let's proceed now with this bhajan, Anirudh. If you can sing for us the swaras for every line, Arvind Sai is there to follow as you sing each line.
Yeah.
Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhutalingam bhajare sa 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 re ma ga re sa ni pa ni ni sa re re sa sa
sa sa sa re ma ga re sa ni pa ni ni sa re re sa sa
Nagalingam Navamanilingam Magare Gare Sarere Mama Papa.
So in this line, instead of going
Sare Ga Ma Pa,
instead of going that way, it is
Re Ma Pa Na.
This becomes this.
Yes.
If it is proceeded in that way,
na, na, na,
that's the typical bass,
yeah,
feeling.
Bass feeling.
Correct.
Is so the Rimapa phrase deviates quickly from Shankaravarnam.
Yes.
Ma gari gari sari re mama papa.
Nabhi kamala udbhavalingam. Pada pada gapa magare re gare ni sani.
Pada pada gapa magare re gare ni sani.
And the last line is same as the first line.
Okay, so I think that will really make it easy for those who want to play this bhajan on their instruments. And I think it is one of those simpler bhajans which people who try playing these notes on their musical instruments also will find it easy, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And you have many fast bhajans in this raga.
Yeah.
Like Hey Nanda Nanda Gopala. Very simple.
Yes.
And
happy.
Happy. Yeah.
And all can follow. Yes.
Yeah. Then you have
Ram 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 Parama Sumangala Ram Ram.
And
Shambho Mahadeva.
That is little bit slower version.
Yeah.
Then
Nanda Nandana Hari Govinda Gopala.
All these are Shankaravarnam. And you have the most popular Aarti.
Oh, so this is Aarti. That is also in Shankaravarnam.
Swami Satyasai Hare.
Yes.
Yeah. And wonderful. You have many Aartis in this raga.
Yeah.
I mean outside also.
Other Aartis.
Like other Aartis also.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Correct. Wonderful. So let's move on to the beat now, Anirudh.
Yeah. The beat of this version is 8 beat.
Yes.
And the count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhutalingam bhajare.
Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhutalingam bhajare.
I think that really brings to a beautiful conclusion this part of understanding the raga and tala. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arvind Sai.
Thank you, Bishu.
Thank you, Bishu.
Salam.
We are now done with the lyrics, the tune, the raga and the tala of this bhajan. Let us move on now to the most vital aspect of bhajan singing, which is actually more important than all the technicalities. It is the bhava, the feeling with which we must sing this bhajan. And for this, we must understand what every word in this bhajan conveys. So let's begin with the first line.
Atmalingam bhajare ati adbhutalingam bhajare.
Atmalingam comes from Atma and Lingam. Atma means the eternal soul and Lingam is the most apt symbol of God. Bhajare occurs twice in this line and it means worship. Baba used to bring out various Lingams from within his divine physical body during many Mahashivaratri festivals in the 60s and 70s and also again he revived this in the 90s. Bhagwan asserts that the manifestation of the Lingam is a part of his nature. On the holy occasion of Shivratri in February 1969, Swami said, just as Om is the sound symbol of God, Lingam is the visible symbol of God. it is the most meaningful, the simplest and the least endowed with the appendages of attributes. Lingam means that in which this Jagat attains laya or mergence or dissolution. All the forms merge in the formless in the end. Shiva is the principle of the destruction of all names and forms, of all entities and individuals. So Linga is the simplest sign of emergence and mergence. And Atma refers to divinity, also known as Brahman. There are four Mahavakyas or statements that represent the essence of the four Vedas, and Bhagavan says that all the four have their aspects portrayed in the Lingam form. The fourth among these is Aham Brahmasmi, which means I am Brahman or I am God. And Swami explains that Atma Lingam or Jyoti Lingam is the symbol of the supreme light of the Atma, and it proves that divinity is in everyone. Swami adds that when this kind of a vision illumines the inner consciousness of a person, he or she becomes one with Brahman or God. And to illustrate this, during Mahashivratri 1974, Bhagavan brought forth an Atmalingam, and inside this was a divine jyoti or a flame that was changing colors continuously. There's a very beautiful experience shared by Mr. Birendranath Bardoli, who served as a faculty member in the Department of English in Bhagwan's University in Prashantanilayam for over two decades. Mr. Bardoli's mother would often tell him and his siblings about her childhood. One of her favorite pastimes was to create a Shivalingam with a tiny lump of clay and spend hours on end having animated discussions and conversations with that lingam. In 1976, Baba gave Mr. Bardoli's mother an Atmalingam in the interview room, saying that it had emerged from him during Shivratri of 1974, just 2 years before. Swami further explained that he had kept that specially for her. Swami said, "Tumhara bhakti bada hai, isliye tumko ye bada lingam deta hun," which means your devotion is big and that is why I give you this large lingam. And Swami continued, "In your childhood, you used to make Shivalingams out of the clay taken from a termite hill, although your family god was Gopala or Krishna." And as Mr. Bardoli's mother heard all this, she was bewildered. She was overwhelmed with joy receiving the lingam. She was speechless. That lingam was the size of a swan egg, but it was heavier than a swan egg. It was greenish blue in color. Wherever she went, she always carried it for its daily worship and abhishekam. On rotating it, one could see in it many impressions, such as Balagopala, Krishna in the form of a child with a laddu in his right hand. You could also see Lord Krishna playing upon his divine flute. You could see Rama, Lakshmana, Sita and Hanuman. You could also see Lord Shiva as Kailashapati, as the Lord of Mount Kailasha. And Mr. Bardoli writes, "Bhagwan was then as much with my mother here inside the interview room in Prashantanilayam as he had been with her at North Guwahati in Assam, when as a child she would blissfully worship her clay Shivalingam. Bhagwan was that very Atmalingam, that all-pervasive creator." Moving on, the third word is Ati, meaning supremely, and the fourth word is Adbhuta, marvelous, awe-inspiring or miraculous. And when we sing this line, Atmalingam Bhajare Ati Adbhutalingam Bhajare, we worship the eternal Atma, the eternal God consciousness, whose visible form is the Lingam. And this form is truly awe-inspiring. Let's move on to the second line.
Nagalingam Navamani Lingam.
Nagalingam comes from Naga, and Lingam, Naga refers to snake. The second word is Navamani, coming from Nava and Mani, which means nine gems. In many traditional modes of worshipping a Lingam, one can see an ornamental piece in the form of a snake's hood above the Lingam. Sometimes the Lingam is also adorned with nine different precious gems. Now what are these precious gems? They consist of ruby, which is also called Manikyam and which represents the sun. The second is the natural pearl, or which is called Mukta or Moti or Mutyam, and this is associated with the moon. The third stone is red coral, which represents Mars. The fourth is emerald, which is connected with Mercury. And the fifth stone is yellow sapphire, which is associated with Jupiter. The sixth is diamond, and that relates to the planet Venus. The sixth is blue sapphire, which is also called Indranilam, and that is associated with Saturn. The eighth is hazonite, which is also called Gomedakam, and this is associated with Rahu, the ascending lunar node. And the ninth is cat's eye or Vaidurium, as it is called in Sanskrit, and this is connected with Ketu, the descending lunar node. So you have in some ways the entire solar system represented in these nine gems, and having the nine gems therefore symbolically connects one with this cosmic forces. The lingam therefore represents this beautiful creation of the creator. And we know that the Naga snake is Lord Shiva's ornament, and it shows how the bestial tendencies are completely subdued in the Lord's presence. It also demonstrates how the Lord indeed is the master of entire creation, all beings included. So when we sing this line, Naga Lingam, Navamani Lingam, we adore the Linga, which is that enigmatic creation of the Lord, which represents the creative forces of this universe, and which also symbolizes the characteristics of the Creator, the one who is the master of everything and everyone, every being on the planet and the entire creation. Let's move on to the third line.
Nabhi kamala udbhava lingam.
Here the first word is Nabhi, meaning navel. The second word is kamala, which means lotus. So Nabhi kamala refers to the lotus emerging from the navel. Navel represents the place of origin of species, that is the point of connection between the mother and child, between the creation and the creator. And in ancient Indian culture, you have the symbolic representation of how Lord Brahma has originated from the navel of Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Nabhi Kamala refers to that original point of creation. The third word here is Udbhava, which means to emerge from. Now, once we take this line, Nabhi Kamala Udbhava Lingam, there could be many explanations, but one possibly is this. There are seven chakras or energy centers inside our body along the spinal column. And one among them is the Swadhisthana Chakra at the point of the navel. And that chakra is the guardian of the Pranamaya Kosha, the vital facet of the person. And it represents Agni or the fire principle, the spring and the source of warmth in the body, which maintains the processes of digestion and protection from environmental change. The five elements, ether, air, water, fire and earth, have their own attributes. Among these, the third element is fire. And fire has not only sound and touch, but also has a unique characteristic of form. Ether doesn't have form, air doesn't have a form, but fire has sound, touch and also a form. Sage Yajnavalkya gives the explanation about this, and he says, when a person is born, the mother's womb is an Agni Kunda or the fireplace. All the limbs of the baby are formed within this womb. That is the Garbha Agni or the womb of fire. When a person dies, his body is cremated in the Chitagni or the funeral pyre, and again is reduced to ashes. So fire is the cause of the body and fire is the destroyer of the body. That is the significance of fire connected with emergence and emergence. All of us are aware that when we chant Om, the sound emerges from the navel region. And as we earlier saw, Om is the sound symbol of God and Lingam is the corresponding form symbol or visible symbol of God. So therefore, possibly it is just natural that the Lingam too emerges from the navel. There is also a reason for the Lord bringing forth the Lingam through His mouth. In the book Baba Satyasai, the author Ra Ganapati writes, in the Linga manifesting Leela, the universal mother Sai gestates the Lingam in the abdomen and delivers it by upward movement and through the mouth to distinguish the divine form's birth from the normal human birth. In fact, it is appropriate here to recall the epochal Shivratri of 2006. It was a Sunday, and as always, the night-long vigil of bhajans went on. The next day, on Monday morning, Bhagwan came out at 6:45 and sat on his chair. Bhajans were going on as usual, and everyone waited for Bhagwan to start his morning discourse. But Professor G. Venkataraman, who was present there, suddenly noticed a few boys rushing into Bhagwan's interview room, and a minute later, they went to where Bhagwan was seated with flasks, towels and tumblers in their hand. The moment Sir saw this, he said to himself, "Oh, it looks like Swami is going to bring out a lingam." And it was not just him, but the whole of Sai Kulanthal woke up to that awakening. Something that normally did not happen in the morning session was about to happen. The huge audience snapped into attention, and while the singing of bhajans picked up in vigor and tempo, everyone waited with bated breath while Bhagwan started drinking glasses and glasses of water as he normally did just before the Lingodbhavam. A big group of boys were seated behind him, pouring water from flasks into silver tumblers. Two boys knelt on either side of Bhagwan and focused on him, ready to support him by holding him. One of them would place the tumblers in front of Bhagwan and offer water to him whenever he signaled, and which happened almost every 15-20 seconds. Bhagwan would take the silver tumbler from the boy, drink the water, and he would then hand the empty tumbler, which the boy would take and hand over to the boys behind and position the next tumbler in readiness for offering to Bhagwan. Bhagwan was evidently feeling very hot, and coolers were placed on either side to blow cold air. After drinking water, Bhagwan would wipe his face, and so kerchief after kerchief was offered. Bhagwan would use even a small hand towel to wipe his face and mouth, and so a large number of towels were also passed on. Meanwhile, some of the boys sitting behind would run to the interview room to fill the flask, bring more kerchiefs and more hand towels. So there was this whole environment charged up with expectancy. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour, 45 minutes, and still the lingam had not emerged. By now everyone was shattered, and they all were silently praying, "Oh Swami, please, please, let this agony end this very minute," because no one could see the suffering that Bhagwan endured. Normally, when the lingam was expected, the team of bhajan singers would take turns and sing fast, powerful and vibrant bhajans. This time too, it started off, and when Bhagwan's suffering prolonged, the singers could not maintain the traditional drill and rhythm. In fact, they cried out in their own way, perhaps coaxing that lingam to emerge and bring Bhagwan's suffering to an end. Meanwhile, Bhagwan's body continued to suffer so much that everyone could see it. It was so evident. It seemed like an epic story in which a small human body embodying the incarnation of God was struggling to rise to the enormous demands of a mighty divine power within to bring forth the ultimate symbol of creation. Finally, after 1 hour of Bhagwan had started showing the symptoms of the Lingodbhavam, the much-awaited lingam appeared suddenly at around 8:15 a.m. The suffering of Bhagwan's divine body during that Shivratri was unusual and exceptional. In fact, Bhagwan even mentioned it to a few devotees a day earlier that he was beginning to experience pain inside. So it was not just the painful struggle everyone witnessed on the morning after Shivratri. Unknown to the world, the birth pangs of creation, if one might call that, had commenced 24 hours earlier. And the lingam that Bhagwan brought forth during that year was a golden lingam. Now just reflect on this. Can anyone have so much gold inside? Where does the gold needed to form the lingam come from? It comes from the five elements that form Bhagwan's body. And the same five elements form our bodies too. But in our bodies, the five elements cannot specially combine to form gold. However, they do so inside Bhagwan's divine body, and that is purely His Leela. Moreover, the gold that forms inside must become liquid, must acquire the shape of a lingam, must solidify and only then emerge. It is very much like a baby growing inside the mother's womb, starting from a single cell. We know that gold is a solid at room temperature. If gold has to exist as a liquid, and that is what happens at the beginning of the Lingodbhavam process, then gold must be at a very high temperature, something like 600 degrees. That is what is needed for gold to become liquid. And at that temperature, the stomach of ordinary human beings would simply burn away and turn into ashes. But such was the control exercised by the Lord on His body, on His organs, that they did not get destroyed. But He did experience excruciating pain. In fact, Bhagwan drank so much water only perhaps to counter that enormous burning sensation inside his body. Now why did Bhagwan undergo so much suffering to bring out the lingam? Was it merely to thrill the devotees and to show the lingam to everyone? Why did he, after going through so much of physical pain, take that extra trouble to go around holding that newly created brilliantly shining lingam for all to see? Through the lingodbhavam, Bhagwan has been sending us many subtle signals. The first is that behind creation there is a creator, and that creator is God. So Bhagwan was teaching us to see God everywhere so that we do not disturb society and harm nature, both of which are aspects of God. Also, being divine, Bhagwan could easily have made the lingam come out in a jiffy, but why did he not do it in that manner? Possibly because he wants us to know that anything good and beautiful cannot be created without pain and sacrifice. All babies are beautiful, but just think of how much pain the mother has to undergo for giving birth to a beautiful one. Perhaps it is those lessons that Bhagwan was recalling and reiterating. Therefore, in this line, Nabhi Kamala Udbhavalingam, there are so many lessons inherent. Let us glorify the lingam and let us ruminate on this beautiful creator and his lovely creation, the power behind this magnificent cosmic manifestation of the creator when we sing this line. Let's move on to the fourth line.
Ishvara lingam bhajare sa, Ishvara lingam bhajare.
The first word here is Ishvara, again referring to Lord Shiva. Bhagwan says Ishvara means divinity that is regarded as the possessor of all the infinite and inexhaustible wealth, and this wealth includes all the wealths, wealth of health, wealth of virtue, wealth of character, wisdom and everything else. The word Saishvara comes from Sai and Ishvara. Many of us are probably aware of the Atirudra Mahayagyam in 2006 conducted in Prashantinilayam. The chief priest explained that since ritual demands that the lingam being worshipped be given a special name, a name had to be chosen for the lingam, and the name that was given with divine blessings of Bhagwan is Saishvara. So Saishvara lingam is what was worshipped during the Atirudra Mahayagyam in 2006. And the priest also said that this lingam is filled to the brim with divine vibrations as it was installed by Lord Shiva himself, Lord Shiva in human form. So when we sing this line, Ishvara lingam bhajare, Saishvara lingam bhajare, let's visualize that cosmic consciousness form of Lord Shiva encapsulated in such a beautiful diminutive form of Satya Sai. And let's fill ourselves with that Shiva Sai consciousness. So with that, to some extent we have tried to gaze at what the different words in this beautiful composition signify. And now let's sing this bhajan once again, ruminating on the inner significance of its every line. We will now hear the Prashanti Mandir version of this bhajan as sung by Bhagwan students in Sai Kulwant Hall.
Atmalingam bhajare yati adbhutalingam bhajare. Atmalingam bhajare yati adbhutalingam bhajare. Nabhi Kamala Udbhavalingam, Ishvara Lingam Bhajare Sa, Ishvara Lingam Bhajare. Ishvara Lingam Bhajare Sa, ఈశ్వరలింగం భజరే సా ఈశ్వరలింగం భజరే ఆత్మలింగం భజరే అతి అద్భుతలింగం భజరే నాదలింగం నవమణిలింగం నాభి కమల ఉద్భవలింగం ఈశ్వరలింగం భజరే సా ఈశ్వరలింగం భజరే ఈశ్వరలింగం భజరే సా ఈశ్వరలింగం భజరే ఆత్మలింగం భజరే అతి అద్భుతలింగం భజరే.
In the last lap of this program, let's now listen to an extract of a conversation with Brother Sonam, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a member of the Prashanti Bhajan group, someone who has composed many bhajans and has had the chance to offer them to Bhagwan directly over so many decades.
So a beautiful bhajan at that point of time was a bhajan during Shivaratri. Lakshminarayan Kote was another, you know, he had a very beautiful Carnatic style of singing. Very South Indian Carnatic classical bass. And he told me, you compose some bhajan that I can sing before Bhagwan. So one bhajan that came out at that time for him was Anupama Sundara Nanda Kishora.
Wow.
Which is in that raga Vrindavani Sarang. And another bhajan that he sang during the 1984 Shivaratri, he introduced this bhajan before Bhagwan was
Jay Kailash Pate Shiva Shankar సాంబసదా శివ శంభో పరతీశ్వర సాయి శివ శంభో శైలేశ్వర కరుణామయ శంకర లింగోద్భవ కర శివ శంభో త్రిశూల జటాధర గంగాధారీ హాలాహల ధర శంభో హాలాహల ధర శంభో సాంబ సదా శివ శంభో పడతీశ్వర సాయి శివ శంభో.
వావ్, such a comprehensive bhajan, and this is one of those bhajans where no name of Shiva is left out.
Exactly.
I mean, it is so appropriate for Shivaratri because you talk about Lingodbhavam, you talk about Swami's hair, Jatadhar, and the end you say, who is all this? It is Pratishwara, Sai Shiva Shambho. And I don't know, what was your inspiration behind this bhajan?
The inspiration was Lakshminarayan Kote telling me, you know, it sounds very gross, you know, very physical, that somebody telling me, you compose a song that I can sing before Bhagwan. But then what happens after that, you know, this is only to trigger that reaction in you, that chemistry in you. And then that reaction is one that really connects you to Bhagwan. And you can imagine the ecstasy when the bhajan was composed and I told him the bhajan. And straight away he liked the bhajan. He said, I want to sing it before Bhagwan. And then the whole process of singing a bhajan before Bhagwan used to be very elaborate. Singing it at least 100 times maybe. Learning it properly.
Yes.
So that we shouldn't really muff it up before Bhagwan.
Swami says any bhajan before you sing, in a samiti bhajan also, before you sing in front of others, you should practice 100 times. And imagine if you're singing a bhajan for the first time.
Exactly.
And this bhajan is such a beautiful elaboration of Lord Shiva.
Yeah.
Because everything about Shiva is there.
Sambasada Shiva Shambhu.
Yes. I mean, you think about any appellation of Lord Shiva and it is there in this bhajan.
Exactly. And the melody also is so appropriate. Like it takes you straight at the base of the Mount Kailash and you are looking at him and the whole world vanishes around you.
And I think that is what makes the Sai bhajan so special. I feel only someone who has been in the proximity of the avatar possibly can come up with something like this.
Definitely. You are so right. And that also happens only by His grace, His karuna.
Absolutely.
Like so many times, Vishu, I have felt completely devoid of any substance.
Yes.
Like devoid of any feel. Yes. And there have been harrowing moments wherein I feel, and especially, you know, when I'm away from Prashantlam and right there in Gangtok, Sikkim. And, you know, when I just left this place and went there, those moments were terrible, at the same time very fulfilling, in the sense that, you know, those terrifying moments inspired so many beautiful bhajans there. And bhajans were the only succor, the only help, you know, that filled me up. Like so many times I would feel bhava shunya, you know, if there could be a word like bhava shunya, wherein you are devoid of any feel. And then
absolutely
all of a sudden,
empty.
Absolutely empty. And I started questioning myself, is it that because I have moved away from Prashantlam, is it that, Swami, I have lost you? Is it that I have really moved away from you? And then the next moment He fills you up. And that filling moment, you know, that process of filling you, the process of that fulfillment, also happens only by His grace. There's nothing that you and me can do with our tiny ego. It's only by His grace that you are filled with devotion. It is only by His grace that devotion gets expressed in terms of poetry or music or anything. And then ultimately, it is only by His grace that we are able to understand that it's not we who are doing it. It's such a beautiful experience. And I understand that this is the crux of the Vedanta. This is the crux of Yoga Vashishta. This is the crux of Bhakti Vedanta. And this is what Swami has taught us practically without holding a text in His hand. Just, you know, practically by making us go through it, live through it.
So amazing. And that only a Sadguru can do that.
Only Sadguru can and do it. Only living, God as Sadguru can
yes,
do it.
Yes, can do that. You know, really? As you mentioned, you know, that is the height of Vedantic experience, where here the composer, the composition, and to whom it is being offered, everything becomes one actually.
Beautiful. Beautiful, yes.
At that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
At that moment, you can't distinguish the composer from the composition from the person to whom it is offered to.
Exactly.
I think composer is only one. And the composition and Him are just the same. Like
it's
you
same.
Can't separate the name and the form of the Lord. Both are just the same.
Exactly.
And you don't exist.
You don't exist. And the whole composition, if you look at it in a small, tiny speck, it is the whole macrocosm.
Yes.
That is the whole creation that you see in a Meera Bhajan. It's the whole creation that we see in a beautiful bandish. It's the whole creation that we see somewhere there. And wherever the ego gets added there, then there is this Maya. When the ego vanishes, there is only this total totality, this absoluteness. It's so beautiful.
Fantastic. So that was an excerpt of a conversation with Brother Sonam, an excellent singer and composer of Sai Bhajans, a divine instrument of the Lord in furthering the Sai Bhajan movement. And with this, we have reached the end of this episode, and we do hope you enjoyed it. Dear listeners, please feel free as always to send your feedback. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by T.S. Ramakrishnan, an alumnus from Chennai. With heart full of gratitude, we offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.